a few years back when Apple was about to launch one of their new products, they printed a note and posted it onto the doors of all of their offices. Here's what it says. What's so special about yesterday? It says, over the past 3,652 yesterdays, we've done some amazing things. We've opened 325 stores in 11 countries with 2.1 million square feet of space. And most importantly, we've welcomed over 1 billion customers. Our 10-year history is something to be proud of, but at the same time, it's just so, well, yesterday. So let's talk about tomorrow. That's a day we can work with. It's a day to launch new products as only Apple can, a day to build the new stores that are even more iconic and create breakthrough programs to help people embrace technology like never before. It's a day to do things no one has ever dreamed of. We're not content to rest on our yesterdays. We'll continue to move forward to make the most of tomorrow and every day after that. And I was challenged by that from a biblical perspective. And I am thankful for our yesterday and our heritage. And I think when we get around leadership conference and stuff like that, we talk much about our heritage. And I think that's great. And I'm so thankful for those who really laid the foundation for us to come and minister. And so I'm thankful for our heritage. But what motivates me to come and minister is the potential for tomorrow and the potential within the students that we have influenced to reach them with the gospel and to change a life that in turn may change another life. And so that's what excites me. And we're going to talk this afternoon about creative strategy for reaching and keeping teenagers. And I'm a little nervous about this because I don't feel like we've completely arrived in this. I feel like we've done some good things. I'm going to share some ideas, maybe take them with a grain of salt as I go through these. And I'm going to try to share some of our process as well for reaching and keeping teenagers. But like I said, this is something that we're striving to do ourselves. Here's what we're going to talk about. I just kind of, and I apologize for not having outlines. Our youth secretary helped me with my outlines, and then she decided to have a baby 2 days ago. So she just came home from the hospital, and where a lot of things are, I don't know. So I apologize about that. But we're going to talk through four stages of youth outreach. This is just kind of basic: reaching, greeting, connecting, and keeping. And so these will be kind of our mile markers through our discussion this afternoon. And I just want to pause and say, I love the theme. It's been our theme for our church this year, but it's the theme for this conference: I will build. And I believe that promise from Jesus extends to our student ministries, you know. And that's one thing that I try to keep in mind as we minister to our teens, that we are, and we're not an auxiliary of the church. We're the church. And we're going to talk about that in just a second. So I believe if we kick it into neutral, statistics show that anyone could build a student ministry that's 10% of the Sunday morning attendance. That just happens naturally. But I really believe that you can begin something in the student ministry that has an upward impact. And that's what we're going to talk a little bit about today. So we'll start with reaching teenagers and maybe some of the things that we do to reach teenagers. And here we go. Let's head right into it. First of all, make regular contact with teens in your community and invite them to church. Okay, this is kind of basic, but here's some of the ways that we make regular contact with the teens in our community. First of all, we have planned outreach. And this is our weekly teen soul winning. And this is something that, honestly, we have to give frequent attention to, because we'll launch an outreach or a soul winning program, and the launch is always good, and then it seems to taper off, if you've ever experienced that. Like, you know, we're going to start teen soul winning, get a lot of people interested at first, and then maybe it tapers off. So this is something we have to give attention to, and this even just in the last month. And my dad is the driving force behind this, might I add that. He's always want to make sure that we're having the most effective teen soul winning programs. So we wrote a plan. We came up with a plan, submitted to him. Here's how we're going to boost attendance and soul winning. Here's the youth workers we're going to list to make sure that they're there. But we give attention to our teen soul winning. I mentioned yesterday we do a bus through parts of the year. We take cars the other parts of the year, but we're always ready with a map. We have teen tracks that we pass out. We knock on a lot of doors, especially with the college students, and if we're not careful, we could annoy people, I'm sure. But we bring teen tracks to the door that invite. So it's our teenagers inviting teenagers. We got the gospel on the back of it, and our youth gathering times on the back of the track. So just one idea, and I mentioned this yesterday, but print work. I'll show you some of the things that we printed. It's gotten really affordable. You could print a lot of these types of tracks for not a lot of money. And so we have the tracks for our teenagers to take, and we have the planned outreach throughout the year. We also have follow-up times on Thursday night where we try to, as youth leaders, I'll try to go and make a follow-up visit on someone that comes. We'll talk about follow-up in a second. But I try also to take a teenager with me so they can see how the follow-up process goes or how making a visit goes. So make regular contact with the teens in your community through planned outreach, also through church member-originated prospects. And this is something I would challenge you to do, is help cultivate this culture of getting teen prospects to the right place. This will be a big help to you. I get emails every single week, and I know we're a larger ministry, but I think we've got a good thing going for us that we're all partnering together on the same page. And so just church members, they'll meet a teenager, and they know who to give the prospect to. And so I get emails. I got one yesterday, you know, teens I met. Sometimes it's someone I met. Sometimes it's like I met this person at the store. We talked. Met this person out soul winning, or this person visited. And so really value these contacts that you give and help to create a culture, working with your pastor through announcements. If you have a teen prospect, send them this way, and then be a good steward of those prospects. We try to respond within about 48 hours to make a first contact or schedule an appointment. And I also like to, whoever gave me the prospect, I like to let them know that we're working on them. And there's been times where we've dropped the ball on that. And we try to not let that be the case. Well, someone gives us a prospect, that's a soul that we've been entrusted to. We're a steward of. And so we try to make good use of that. So planned outreach, then church member originated prospects. Next, and we could do an entire session on this, public high school ministry. And we've been doing public high school ministry for a number of years now, and I know that there are definitely some hurdles to getting involved and plugged into high school ministry, but can I say that there is real ministry potential in the high schools, and I think sometimes we overcomplicate it. I was talking to my brother yesterday. He's a youth pastor in San Diego area, and every week he's involved in high school clubs where he gives the gospel, he passes out tracts, he talks about Jesus in Southern California, of all places. So it can be done, and it's different at every school. When we went to go establish a club at Palmdale High School, we had to have background checks done, fingerprints done. We had to apply. We had to read a manual. It was an extensive process of approval. Other schools that we went to, they just let us come right in. So it's different. Whenever someone asks me about public high school ministry, I guess my general answer is that it's different at every place, but it's possible at every place. Let me say this as well. A lot of schools already have a club there. Some of those clubs are doing well, but a lot of those clubs need some help. And so some of the clubs we've started from scratch, and some of the clubs we've come alongside and we've helped. But every week we minister in 5 different public high school Bible clubs. And I don't go to all of those. I have volunteers that'll come and help. And I would challenge you to start with maybe the school that's closest to your church. I think it's good for me as a youth pastor to know what's going on in public high schools and to be on campuses, because I can get, you know, in a sheltered environment here on campus. And so it's good for me to get out and pursue public high school ministry opportunities. You can become a volunteer. Like, I can't commit times for a club. You can commit to being a volunteer. We signed up to become volunteers a few years ago. It's about 5 years ago now. And for Eastside High School, it's our closest high school. We went in there, went through the process of becoming a school volunteer. And about a week after we finished that, there was a tragedy at the school where 2 young girls lost their lives. And they called us, me and another youth pastor here at the church, to go and minister to those teens. And again, in California, in a public high school setting, during school hours, they gave us a microphone, brought the whole student body, and we got to talk about tragedy. And we talked about the tragedy that took place on the cross. We gave them the gospel. We gave them hope. And so make an impact through public high school ministry. Sometimes myself or Brother Fursel, we've done this before. We've gone and we've grabbed a box of donuts and we've just dropped them off at the high school. And just thinking through those things, make contact through teens. through public high school ministry. Then, this next point I wrote down, through spontaneous opportunities, okay? If you have a mind to make an impact on teens, I really believe that God will give you those opportunities if you see them and you don't miss them. And I'll give you a couple of my favorite examples. One day, one of our youth interns, he just became a youth pastor on the East Coast, but it started to rain. We have weird weather here, and it was sunny in the morning, started to rain in the afternoon. Okay, no one in Lancaster even owns a rain jacket or an umbrella, you know. None of the students even know what it is, but it was like a downpour. It's like 2 in the afternoon, and it is pouring down rain. And one of our interns just had this idea, why don't we go to the dollar store and buy rain ponchos and attach gospel tract to them? I'm like, that's a great idea. We have an hour to do it. So we went to every dollar store around and bought just tons of rain ponchos. We attached tracts to them. And it was the coolest thing because everyone took a rain poncho. Literally hundreds of teens are walking down. But that took someone who had a mind to reach teens and was thinking for them. When we were here on property, they're thinking of the campus. So spontaneous opportunities. This past fall, I was walking in Target, and there's these two athletes. They go to Pete Knight High School. I could tell because they got the Pete Knight jerseys on them, and they were selling cards, like fundraiser cards. And I didn't need them, and I bought two of them just so I can have an opportunity to talk to them. And 2 weeks later, I was at their school, and so that opportunity paid dividends, and I'll talk about that. And got to invite them to church. So. What else? Someone noticed that some of our basketball games at our local high school aren't well attended. So one day we took signups and we took an entire busload of our teens to cheer for Eastside High School. It's an empty gym, you know, no one's watching the game. And we took our teens there to cheer for them. And just having a mind to make an impact through even spontaneous opportunities that the Lord will present to you. And then another way is just through special community impact projects. Also known as Love Works. You've heard a little bit about that. We're going to talk about what that meant for us. I feel like as a student ministry, we had about the most fruitful Love Works program. I know that the adult ministries did it, and it was fruitful for them, but I think the impact we saw was amazing. I have some video footage here I'll play through. This is Eastside High School. We had some volunteers cook up spaghetti, and we brought spaghetti to the local high school there. No one's going to turn down free food. This is a game day, and so we got to go to Eastside High School. Now this is Antelope Valley High School. They have 3 football teams there, and we set up with meals after their practice. And in every single one of these situations, the coach was so appreciative that he gave us the platform to talk to his teens. And he didn't even know us. I mean, some of these guys were meeting the first time. Like, we set up the appointment to come and said, hey, we want to bring you meals. But then he gathered everyone. Hey, these are good people over at the church. They want to talk to you. Sit down. You know, they listened to us. We gave the gospel, and in every one of these situations, we saw people saved right there on the spot. This was an agricultural class. They have right in the middle of Lancaster. They have a few acres worth of like plants and stuff like that. It's actually pretty pathetic, you know. but they needed help, like pulling weeds and stuff. So we went and helped them. This is Pete Knight High School, and we were able to see some teens saved there. So. All this took was a little bit of work to make the contacts to the coaches, to go to the school, to find out who the coaches are, to make contact. And for some of them, you'd think we're trying to feed them that they would be interested. It took 3 or 4, like going back and saying, hey, what date can we do this? And man, they were so appreciative. And our teams stood around for like an hour after practice and just talked with these individuals. We made good contact with the coaches. After we got done at AV High School, the coach said, I want you guys to have the opportunity to come to any locker room before a game and pray for us. And you can be on the sideline. And those type of opportunities will open up through special community impact projects. It does take some work up front. It takes about a month of just phone calls and making it happen. But we saw a very fruitful Love Works time. Then the next thought here is to give lost teens a reason to come and your teen a reason to invite. Give lost teens a reason to come and your teens a reason to invite. This goes for youth workers as well. If you want maybe someone who works with you to make a visit, give them something to do at that visit. Give them some. We take popcorn to our visits, you know. sometimes it gets stale, and we still take the stale popcorn, you know. We try not to do that. But a reason to visit. Well, we want our teens to have a reason to invite them, and the teens we're inviting a reason to come, all right? So I'm gonna talk to you through something that we did different this year. In the fall, we had an open house. I'm gonna tell you all about it. There's definitely some things that we're gonna do the same next year. There's a few things we're gonna change as well. This was a new outreach endeavor. The title of the session is Creative Strategies. And a lot of times, when you stop and you stop and you brainstorm and you come up with something new, it's going to be different, okay? So that creativity sometimes leads itself to something different. So we came up with kind of a different outreach opportunity. We called it The Weekend. And the reason we called it The Weekend was because we wanted to do it on Sunday. We wanted to have a big outreach on Sunday. There was just, with the Walther Center, this will change, but there was no space on Sunday for us to meet with the teens, okay? We wanted to have an impact with them, no place to have a service. And so what we started inviting our teens to, and this is a picture taken at the Eastside High School, we created this event. It was a two-day event. That's why we call it The Weekend, because we wanted them to come Saturday, because that's when we could have a big rally, and we wanted them to be there Sunday too, because that was our open house and it's Sunday. And so we created this event, and probably some of the best things that we did was we got our teens excited about it. This is our teen Bible study room on Wednesday night, where we meet in the choir room, and this is me walking through the weekend with our teens. I look for the handout. One of the coolest things to me was we had so many teens sign up for to help with this event. They got excited about it, and we had to make up jobs for them to do. But in turn, they really, really owned their event, and they invited a lot of friends, and they had purpose in going to feed football players. The end result was to tell them about Jesus and invite them to church. And so we did that through these little cards. And it was something that we really labored on. This is my brother-in-law, John Sisson. He's in the back, our junior high youth pastor. Every chance we had, this was homecoming, late at night, we'd go over to the schools. We'd talk to as many teens. We'd bring some of our teens. And so we really labored to do that and to invite the teams to come. Give the teens a reason to come. I'll come back to this in just a second. Here are some reasons that you can give to your teens. A Bible series. Let them know what you're teaching. We had a guy come. He was one of our first-time visitors, and we had a series a few weeks ago. We called it Him Plus Her, and it was a dating series. And this guy came as his first time to our church, and then he said, I have to bring my girlfriend next week to hear this dating series. I'm like, oh, yeah, how long have you guys been dating? This is his first time here, you know? He was saved. He's like, well, we've been dating for this long, but I want to bring her here so I can dump her, you know? I'm like, what? He's like, well, she's not the type of girl you talked about, you know, in the lesson. I'm like, well, don't put that on me, man. I said, why don't you bring her here? Because he grew up in a Christian home, and I'm like, why don't you bring her here? Let's see if let's introduce her to Jesus, and then we'll take things from there, and maybe we can cool things off. But don't tell her that I said a dump her. And that was his reason, was a series. And so sometimes it's a Bible study series. We're going to do a series in the fall where we're going to do a question and answer. We're going to, I don't know what we're going to title it. Maybe you asked for it or something like that. But we collected cards a few weeks ago in Bible study. And at the end of the summer, I'm going to put some thought this summer into answering some cultural issues, you know. And so that'll be something that they can invite their friends to. Maybe a guest speaker. We have guest speakers come through sometimes, and that's good. We've had before. We've had athletes and stuff come, and that's cool. But one of the things I'm going to jump back to our open house weekend, and one of the things I liked about that was that there was no special athlete or anything. It was just teens inviting their friends to church. Youth activities, I'll talk through that in just a second. And then just special days. We have some days in the fall we call invite night. I got that from my brother, hey, this is an invite night emphasis. And 3x5 cards are so cheap to make that you can, hey, here's our invite night. And we'll maybe throw out some extra candy or something like that, but it's kind of a normal Bible study, but just with the emphasis for an invitation. And so give lost teens and your teens a reason to get excited about a special event and to invite someone. If we're not careful, I think churches can sometimes tend to view teens as like rocks, you know, like where do we put them during this time? You know, we're going to have a church-wide event. What do we do with the teens? And you've ever heard that before? Anyone ask, we're going to do this. Oh, what are we going to do with the teens? You know, what we need to do is look at the teens like reservoirs. You know, you can trust them with ministry, and you can invest in them. They're not rocks that we just, you know, place here and place there, but we want to get them involved in the program of the church. And so that is some thoughts about reaching teens. Stage two, the second stage that we're going to talk about is talk about reaching teens. Now we're going to talk about, skip ahead here. Greeting teenagers. One time I heard a pastor talk about how he was struggling because he wasn't having visitors attend his church that often. And then he realized later it was only by the grace of God that they hadn't come yet because they weren't ready for them. And had they come when they weren't ready, they would have never come back. And we've got to be ready for those who come and visit. You've heard it said before, you never get a second chance to make a first impression. So we're going to talk a little bit about greeting teens. And here's the first thought. Evaluate your youth group's first impression on a weekly basis. Evaluate your teen's impression on a weekly basis. It's funny when you get used to a place how you can get used to the things that are broken and don't look as well, and you can get used to the things that wow some visitors too. I don't know how many people I've passed this week that came to Spiritual Leadership Conference. They're like, "Hey, do you know where the choir room is?" And I'm like, "Okay, well, you're in the Walther Center right now. Okay, so you need to go all the way over there." And to me, I know where the choir room is. Okay, but to someone that's never been here before, you know, that's a big deal. So walk through your entire Sunday morning or maybe your midweek service through that mindset of what does a visitor think of this? When we had our weekend event, we had a team of teenagers. We called them the first impression team, all right? And we gave all the teenagers a lanyard. So they're owning it. This was huge. This, I think, one of the reasons we saw God work that night is because they provided the music, they did the counseling, and they owned it. And they were part of the first impressions team. And then after that, we said, "Hey, we need to do this every single service." Now, this is cool because sometimes I struggle for signups for certain, maybe an activity, maybe a service opportunity where I want teens to sign up. So what we did is we had some of our senior high girls, every time we have a Bible study or a Sunday school class, we always have a table where we greet visitors. We'll talk through that in a second. But it's also a place where people can sign up for things. And man, we've seen our signups surge because the senior high girls are asking for the signups and not me, you know. And so they're part of the first impressions. And so everyone knows if we have a visitor, they know where to take them, and we have a process. We'll talk about that in just a second. So your first impression, evaluate that. I mean, everything communicates, and everything should communicate excellence, especially from a body of believers, you know, where Christ is at work. I really believe that we should communicate excellence in our buildings, in our cleanliness, in every possible way. So evaluate your youth group's first impression on a weekly basis. Then next, implement a welcome strategy. Implement a welcome strategy. It's funny sometimes even the church lingo, and I understand there's a balance. You know, you don't adjust everything and adapt everything so someone just visiting, just, you know, not everything's weird, because some things about the gospel is weird. I mean, baptism is kind of weird if you don't know why or what or how or anything, you know. But I think sometimes even just thinking through some of the terminology you use. Even my dad last week, he had some visitors in church, and I was like, "Yeah, that was really good, you know. Did you have visitors here?" You know, because there wasn't any of that lingo. It was good. It was connecting with them, and he's good at that. And so evaluate your first impression. Then implement a welcome strategy. Implement a welcome strategy. And let me see if I'm missing anything. Back to evaluating just real quick. A few things I forgot to say. People will decide whether or not to attend your church again within the first 6 minutes of being on campus. They will decide statistically whether or not they'll come back. Okay. 6 minutes on our campus, they may not even be to our classroom yet. So we got to make sure that the signage is good, and we've got greeters in the parking lot, and everyone knows this is where it takes working with other ministries, so the ushers know where to go. And then ask yourself questions. You know, how long does it take a visitor to find their class? Are our facilities clean? Are our youth leaders present? This is huge. You get to a class. I was speaking at a church one time, and the pastor had me in a adjacent room to their offices. He says, "You can study in here." And this lady came into church. You could tell it was her first time ever at church. And she's like, I was told a ladies' class meets here. It's just me in there in this workroom. And it's 10 o'clock. And she's like, yeah. I'm like, I have no idea. You know, but I could tell, you know, this is a visitor. And I'm like, oh, you know what? Let me try to find out for you. And then I'm frantic. I'm trying to find the pastor because there's a visitor here. And come to find out, she was in the right spot. And it was at 10 o'clock, but nobody was there yet. You know, there was, and part of it was because they had another service as of going along, you know, but it was a bad connection there. So evaluate that. Then implement the welcome strategy. I mentioned our table. We have a table. I got this idea from my brother's church down in San Diego. They have a VIP table. So we have a VIP table for our teens, and we try to make them feel welcome. We have this connection card that says, I'm new here. And we ask for the address and everything like that, but then we have some fun with it too. We ask, what do you do for fun? Who do you look up to? One word to describe you, your favorite candy, and Santa Claus, yes or no? You know, just kind of like without any... Some of you don't get it, and some of them don't get it either, but it's just kind of, we're just messing with them, you know? Sometimes they'll bring us this card and be like, what does this mean, you know? I'm like, Santa Claus, yes or no? Is it real or not, you know? I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, he'll fill it out. We had a generic connection card, but we didn't know anything about them. And so this real talk section gave us some insight into who they were for the follow-up visit. So be thinking follow-up even when you're making that first impression. And so, or I would like information. We have teens who accept check that often, accepting Christ. And so we have the table there. Let me see what else. We have a gift that we give out, and I know we could be viewed as we're a larger church, we're a larger ministry, and I hear sometimes, well, you guys can do that because you're big. We do everything on break-even budget, okay? And we have one event every year that we actually make money. It's ice skating. Okay, we're in the desert, so anything with ice is intriguing to our teens, and so we have teens come out of the woodwork for that. It's like one of our most well-attended activities, and we charge $15, but the way it works out is we make an income off that. So we use that every year to buy a gift for our student ministry. So we have this gift bag. It's got some cotton candy in it. We always change the inside. We have some ladies on staff who are really good at seeing what's at Costco and what's cheap and economical. So we do these bags for about $2 a bag. We put whatever's next. So this is our teen camp flyer in them. We got a sticker. And then some of these things, we've just added things because we couldn't put all this bag together right at first, but we added things throughout the year. We have a little sticker. We've kind of loosely branded our student ministries like Ignite, but we're not like super like tied down to that too. I know some of you might have an identity as a student ministry. I don't want our identity to become too separate from the church, but it is good for the teens. And so we have the Ignite student ministry. And again, we use that just kind of loosely. And we implemented that a few years ago, and it's starting to gain some traction. But this is the gift that we give to them, and we got their card. And so we have a strategy in place. And what happens with that card next is Monday morning, we get the visitors, and visitor letters go out. That's the first thing that happens. Visitor letters go out. And then we try our best then to assign a visit to our youth leaders and our youth workers. So if we have a visitor, make sure that gets assigned, and we're trying to make that visit on Saturday. Sometimes teens, it's amazing how many teens don't know their address. Maybe it's just teens here in Lancaster, okay? But man, you'll get like, okay, like that's not an address. That's one number, okay? You know, and so we try to do our best to get the best address, and to save our youth leaders frustration, we try to confirm whether or not it's a valid address. But we have that visitor process where we send the letters out. We have every week there's a weekly stat sheet report that gets distributed throughout the church. These are first-time visitors to the church, and it shows first-time visitors, teens, talks about baptisms, and so we try to follow up on these as best we can, and also pay attention just to our attendance numbers too. So implement a welcome strategy. Just think creatively. What are some things that you can do to welcome the teens? And then the next step or the next stage is connecting teenagers. So we've got reaching them, greeting them, making sure that they feel welcome, that you're not putting them on the spot, you're not making them feel awkward, but they're genuinely feel welcome into a class or to a Bible study setting. And then the next thing to do is to connect the teens. And I think this is the most crucial thing. This is the follow-up. You connect them through follow-up, okay? You can make contact with them at an event, but you make those connections through follow-up and through having some opportunities for them. We had, back to our open house weekend. So we rolled out the red carpet. Literally, the church decided to rent these like red carpets for visitors. So we stole them, you know. They put them on the other side of the campus, and we drug them over on Saturday night because they were having a big event on Sunday. And then we welcomed the teens, and we had an overwhelming response. At the end of the night, we had 90 first-time visitor cards. And again, there's no athlete coming. These were friends inviting friends. And my first thought was, we have an awesome bus ministry, and our college students are really, and they work that very well. And so my first thought was, maybe these are a lot of the teens who ride on a bus who don't normally come to a normal function. And I was expecting to find a lot of duplicates. We found like three or four, maybe, duplicates. These were people that when we started to enter them into our church management software had never stepped foot on their campus ever. These are first time visitors. This is awesome. And from that, we saw over 15 teens saved. And we had an awesome, awesome response. But as I stood there, it was just overwhelming to see our teens bring teens. And it was because they got involved, they bought into it, and they brought their teens. This is our bulletin from the special event. And again, we put a lot of time and thought ahead of it. But one of the reasons we got some of these teens is because we really worked them through our public high school ministry. We invited the presidents of the clubs to come, and there was a good number of first-time visitors that came through that. And then from that point on, we really worked hard to, first of all, establish a realistic follow-up process. We talked a little bit about that, establishing a realistic follow-up process. I apologize. I'm jumping back and forth. I got a PowerPoint here, and I got some notes here, and I get excited about something, so then I stop about something. But a couple other just ideas that we have. We on 6:30 on Wednesday nights before Bible study, we call it hangs. I don't even know what that means. Our teens came up with it. Hangs at 6:30. It's a hangout, okay? So we have popcorn or something like that before church, and that's a good time for them to come and connect. We're there with as youth workers. And then, like I said, we have a trained team of greeters, teen greeters. And what do? They greet them, they direct them, they treat them with the gift bag, they seat them. I heard a ministry leader a while ago say that their ministry has a no pointing rule. And so we're implementing that. No pointing, meaning don't say, oh yeah, it's over there, okay? If you can help train your church family to take a visitor to the teen room, that'll eliminate a lot of frustration. So you seat them and then thank them. I read that you have 3 minutes after a service is done to make a connection. And sometimes, even if you didn't make a good first impression, or even if you did make a good first impression, sometimes it's the last impression that makes the lasting impression. And you have 3 minutes after the service. And this is where we've got some great student ministry leaders. That's their time to find out if they're believers, if they have any struggles, if there's anything we can pray with them about. That's where you're setting yourself up for some good follow-up. The 3 minutes after your service or after your Sunday school class. So greet them, direct them, treat them, seat them, and thank them. That's our welcome strategy. Then connect them. Establish a realistic follow-up process. And this is what I talked about. Collecting information, visitor cards are reviewed, letters are sent, visitors are assigned, and then Thursday, follow-up is made, and report it. So establish a realistic follow-up process. And this is one of those things that it's never as clean as you'd like it to be. You know, someone's maybe not home, or the address isn't complete, or something that doesn't go. But if you just stick with it and keep on making an endeavor to connect with them, that I really believe that God will give you those connections. So establish that follow-up process. Then determine the next action. And this is... I pulled up our church management software. This is something that we try to keep in mind is what's next for this individual. If they don't know Christ, obviously the next step is salvation. If they did get saved, which we had, 15 get saved at our open house event, then for 15 of them, it was baptism. That was the next step. And one of the next steps for each of them is to just get connected and become a growing part of our church. And so help guests get connected. And one of the ways you can do that, and this is simple, and this is where yesterday we talked through the pillars of student ministry, what's most important, and I never even touched on activities. Now, I do believe activities is huge. They're important. They're not necessarily weight-bearing. You can have real ministry without having activities, but I do believe they're helpful to connect teens. That's the purpose for the activities, is to connect teens. Sometimes we can work on an activity, and we're so excited for our teens to enjoy them. That is a prime opportunity to invite someone. And so we had, at our open house event, we had a card that we passed out that said, come hang with us. And we listed the next three activities. We had a blacklight dodgeball. I'll show you a video of that in just a second. We had a Christmas kickoff party. That was just a Bible study with like a Christmas theme to it. We had an ice skating activity. And then it says New Year's party, but then it says under it, this event isn't even happening, but it sounds like a lot of fun. Okay, so let me put that in there. They thought that was kind of funny. Anyway. So, but this was, we were already trying to make that next connection at their first event at church. And it worked. Just a couple weeks later, November 16th, we had a blacklight dodgeball tournament. This is something that we started 3 years ago, and every year we bought like a few more blacklights. They're $12 at Walmart, and our teens love it. And when they get hit, we shine a laser at them, so that's how they know that they're out. But our teens love it, and we saw, she's out, and we saw several follow-up visitors that came to our open house, then come to that next activity. And so that was huge, because that was in front of them, that we were ready for that, we were prepared for that. And we had a few other activities, but help teens come become connected. We have teen camp in just a few days, and I was reading that one of the best ways to connect teens is through an overnight event, you know, where they can get away from their media, their friends, their influences. That's one of the best ways to connect them. And so we bend over backwards to help new kids come to camp. We've full-on sponsored some kids to come to camp, full-on team sponsorship, and it wasn't necessarily in the budget or something that we had. And by the way, we ask our church family to help us with sponsorships for that one activity. They believe in it, and they've come through. They sponsored, 15 plus kids, full sponsorship. And we give those to the new ones that need to be connected. And so help them to get connected, even through activities and stuff like that. And then the last stage and the final stage is keeping teenagers. One of our teens, this doesn't work out this way with every teen, but it ought to be our heart to make it work if it can work. There was a teen there that I met out in the parking lot before our open house. His name was Isaiah, and here's a picture of Isaiah. I called him up for an illustration. I snapshotted this from my Instagram, but Isaiah, I called him up to help with an illustration that night. And Isaiah came to church with his sister because of just this card that someone left on his door. We didn't make a contact with him at the school, but this card was left on him. And he said he thought it looked cool, and he came, him and his sister, okay? I called him up to help with an illustration. I didn't know that Isaiah, I knew it was a possibility. I didn't know if he was saved or not at that point in time. And he wasn't, and he got saved right afterwards. He accepted Christ as a Savior. I think we got a picture of him. And again, there's Isaiah with the hair. You can always recognize the hair. We're working on that. Give some grace to him. It looks like maybe another palm tree. One, two, three, and then it's... there's Isaiah. And so Isaiah came because of just this card. He was welcomed. He was greeted. He heard the gospel. He responded to it. The next day, Isaiah comes. Remember we said it was a two-day event? He comes with his whole family. They all get saved, okay? They get discipled. His dad's Muslim, but the mom, kids, everyone else, sister gets saved. His sister gets plugged into our school. She's growing fast. Okay, Isaiah's still growing. We're in that stage, but we're connecting him and we're keeping him. We invited him to dodgeball events. He came to the dodgeball events. We had a bowling activity. He came to the bowling activity. We're keeping him involved. But then we're also thinking, like, what's the next step of growth? So Isaiah got baptized. Okay, Isaiah was my soul winning partner last week. You know, we're getting him connected and growing. And family's gone through discipleship now. They're apart. He's got 1 year left in student ministries. It's going to be his senior year, but man, that's how it's supposed to work. And it doesn't work out that way with every individual. But that ought to be our heart, to make those connections and to see God work in a way such as that. So keeping teenagers, here's a final few thoughts. First of all, facilitate spiritual growth. I really believe that it's when we accept Christ, the promise is that he'll make within us a new creature. That's an awesome promise, that God will make us new creatures. But I think we can help to make sure that there's an optimum environment, or the climate is right for growth, okay? And so help to facilitate spiritual growth through keeping that optimum climate. Make teen discipleship a priority. This was a point that I wrote because I think it's important, and I think it's important for us too. This is an area that, if I could be honest with you, we need some room for improvement. How we've handled discipleship up to this point is we send out an email to our youth leaders about once a quarter and say, hey, do you know of a teen that's come to your class that's growing and that's connecting and is ready for discipleship? And we'll get a list of names back. And then we'll ask some of our youth leaders, hey, will you take some time to disciple this teenager? What we've struggled with is curriculum. We're still trying to figure out the curriculum. The new discipleship curriculum, we've looked through that, and I think that's what we'll use that they wrote through the adults. We'll take that and adapt that for teenagers and maybe slim it down just a little bit. And so we're still working on that, but I really believe that the discipleship is an important process. I tell our church family, whoever asks, you know, about teen discipleship, our Wednesday night Bible study, in essence, is really teen discipleship. We cover the main doctrines of Jesus Christ, God's Word, every year. That's crucial. Our teens, it's ongoing discipleship, even for the teens that grew up in church, okay? So at a bare minimum, they're getting that if they'll come on Wednesday night. But then I do believe a one-on-one setting. And so this year we've seen several teens discipled, and we're still kind of figuring out, but I know it's crucial, and I know it's important. Then help them to find a place to serve. Help them to find a place to serve. And this is, again, where Isaiah, he's got a lot of growth to do, but he's connected. He's out soul winning. He's on the soul winning bus, and we've given him some areas to serve. And so help them find a place to serve and invite others. I think it was neat too. We had our Love Works campaign, and that attracts some people. Some people, they want to do something good. They want to do something meaningful. I think students, they want to be a part of something bigger than themselves, you know? So we had Love Works, and we were announcing Love Works. We had some students that found out about Love Works that weren't even part of our church, and they came to volunteer. They'd never even been to our church service, but they want to do community service projects. And we were able to tell them about Jesus. And so those are some creative strategy for reaching and keeping teenagers. But I'll just say this. You've got to pull aside, take some time, and brainstorm and come up with some ideas, implement new ideas, and look at what's maybe stagnating. There are those pillars we talked about yesterday. Those are immovable. We don't ever move Bible teaching and things like that. But maybe some other things that we can implement. So hopefully that's some...